Welcome to the Bird's Eye View podcast. Zach Berman alongside Jeff McClain from Philly.com. And we've been doing this for 2 years now. It's our first one on back-to-back days, I believe.
Oh, really? Okay, that's great.
And it's for good reason, because last night was the opening night of the Super Bowl, which is a made-for-TV event, but first time the Eagles were in it since we've been covering it. What did you think of the event?
Well, it's the first time we've gotten really Howie Roseman to talk for a while. Jeffrey Lurie was there, so that was an interesting dynamic for reporters, for the media in general. But you know, now that they have fans there, brings a certain dynamic to the event. And when some of the players first came out, actually, it was the captains. It was just Foles and Jenkins. I missed those.
Well, all the captains came out, but then they kept Foles, Jenkins for the Eagles, and Brady McCourty for the Patriots.
Right, and there were some boos when the Eagles captains came out from disgruntled Vikings fans, I'd assume.
And then the moderator, it was actually funny, the moderator of the exchange, Sal Palantonio, he asked Tom Brady about the 99-yard interception that Brady threw to Jenkins during the...
I missed that.
And Brady... Yeah, he was a good sport with it. He, he said he needs to not throw the ball to Malcolm this week. And then Malcolm, you know Malcolm well, he wouldn't let that question slide without his input, and said he still has that ball in his
hilarious
man cave. So that was a funny exchange.
Somebody asked him last week in the locker room. They're really pushing for him to say this is like the best play of his career, and he's like, I mean, it was good. He's like, but like, I mean, I had a clear path into the end zone. I think the ball kind of was deflected to him.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, I guess I understand why people may think that, because it was Tom Brady. And when you do it against, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, maybe you'd have it as your best play. But certainly he holds it in high regard, in the fact that he still keeps the ball. But when the whole team came out, there were still more boos from the fans.
From the Vikings fans.
I thought there'd be more Eagles fans there, quite frankly. I'm sure
I think they're going to come later.
They're going to come later
in
the week, yeah.
But there were some there, actually. Yeah. And we saw, I never would have thought that on a floor scattered with all the members of the Eagles, we'd be hearing Howie chants. But we heard Howie chants.
Howie chants. I mean, you know, Howie right now is riding on Cloud 9 into the Super Bowl. And rightfully so. He's done a remarkable job this year, him and Joe Douglas, and certainly with their partnership with Doug Peterson. And you spoke to Howie. I mean, I did as well, but you spoke with him a little longer. Your story is coming out. Read it on Philly.com about Howie. And it's a little bit about the revenge of Howie. But he didn't take a victory lap, did he?
No, and I thought this was his chance to do so. He didn't talk after he won Executive of the Year. I thought there was going to be that victory lap element to it, but he was very deferential to the other people in the organization. Said this is not about him. It's about, it's about the city. It's about the team. It's about the players, the coaches. We'll see what he says if they
win.
But, it was his opportunity. And I will say this. He earned it, because there were things written, by myself included, when he lost power, about kind of the fall of Howie Roseman.
Right.
So this is kind of the pinnacle of his executive career right now.
Right. And, I thought those stories were justified. I mean, he'd been GM for 6 years, had been involved in personnel for over a decade, and the Eagles, during that span, only once got as far as the NFC Championship, but that was before he'd been in GM. When he was GM, they didn't win a playoff game, and that really didn't play a role, I think, in why he was demoted. Certainly it was Chip Kelly kind of forcing Jeffrey Lurie's hand in that regard. But since Howie's come back, there was a lot asked and said about accountability when Howie returned.
Yep.
So if you're going to hold him accountable for those first 6 years, you got to hold him accountable for what's happened these last 2 years. And he's the guy at the top in terms of personnel. Joe Douglas has certainly been a valuable addition to that staff, and certainly I think you can see his fingerprints of some of the guys that they brought in, both in free agency trades and also in the draft. But Howie is the guy pulling the trigger.
And he's the final say.
So he deserves the bulk of the credit for those personnel moves.
Now, it's rare that there's news that comes out of media night, but there was a bit of news. Jason Peters spoke to reporters, really, for the first time since his injury.
Yeah, and said that he plans on being back. I don't think I mean, you heard other players say that that's the way Jason felt. This is the first time, I think.
But straight from the horse's mouth?
Yes. He's plans on coming back. And I asked him, I said, have you had those conversations yet with the Eagles? I mean, I wouldn't expect them to. Maybe because he's injured, they'd say, you know, we want you back. They wouldn't wait till the end of the season. That being said, you know, he said that, you know, if that were to happen, if they were not to want him back, he says he's playing somewhere. Now,
which is interesting because in the past, I believe he said...
I didn't ask him either, too, about other teams. He brought that up himself.
Yeah, because in the past, didn't he say in the past he's only playing for the Eagles?
Yeah.
I believe he said
that. He
was
a retired Eagle. Yeah. Yeah, so that was... Yeah, you're right. He holds a lot of sway in that building.
Oh, yeah. He's the most respected guy.
And feared.
But... But money talks, and he has a big cap number.
$11.6 million.
Yeah, for a player coming off a significant injury at his age.
Yeah, I don't think Big V has done enough to supplant him.
If no, not
he
at all.
Can get help to get back to 100%, which I'd assume he is. I mean, the guy's a phenomenal athlete. But you know, that was one bit of news. The other one was that Joe Douglas spoke for the first time, and he was asked about, you know, the Texans had reached out to him and wanted to interview him for their opening GM job. The Eagles blocked him. From doing so, they could do that because
they were still
in season. Howie explained that decision as well. But, you know, Joe said that that's something he wants to do, but he's happy here in Philadelphia. I'm sure at some point he's going to get a GM job, considering the way the Eagles have you know, played over the year. I guess it's 2 years, but really 1 year since he's
yeah, he came after the draft in 2016. Right. So only one draft, and really it's a draft that a lot we're waiting on from that draft to be seen. It was more down the line draft than a day one impact draft.
So what'd you make of? We obviously were tied up in other guys, but from what I've made of what happened. On the other podiums, Lane Johnson was a little bit of a crowd.
Well, so Lane actually, obviously the dog mask was a big topic, but something else that he was asked quite a bit about was something you wrote last week. You were there when he said it, the Tom Brady comment.
Oh, right.
Pretty boy comment.
What was his response to that?
And I give Lane credit. He said that he doesn't believe, you know, he laughs when there's like bulletin board material, pumping a guy or motivating someone else. It's a Super Bowl. What more motivation do you need?
He also said that he's probably the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, exactly. So. And when he was asked about if Tom Brady's a pretty boy, he said, yeah, Google him, you know, and that'll be your answer. So that's Lane being Lane. We predicted that Lane would be kind of the star. He wore sunglasses throughout the whole time. He said Jay Ajayi gave him those sunglasses because he needed more swag. Like the glasses you're wearing now.
Yeah.
Gives you a little more swag.
I guess. I think it just makes me look a little nerdier.
No, I think we're on video today. This is our second one on video. Yeah. So that's Jeff's swag right there. But yeah, so he had the sunglasses on and he was real popular. I listened through to what Nick Foles said. That was typical, Nick. If you spent an hour listening to Nick Foles, good for you.
But, I thought it was a rather tame media night compared to the past ones that I've attended. I think, the fact that they moved it into the evening has kind of taken a little bite out of the whole event. I think there's a little more sizzle when you had the entertainment.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I don't appreciate it because I'm just trying a lot of times to ask football questions related to the team. I get why it's done. But for the Eagles, it had to be an exciting moment. The culmination of a lot of these guys' careers.
It seemed those guys were really soaking in the moment.
Yeah.
Like when they came out, they all were videotaping it. And I think a lot of these Patriots, this is part of their routine.
Yeah.
They're like, all right. Yeah. And it was actually pretty interesting. Something Doug Peterson said that he wanted to get here a day early so the players kind of got their bearings, got the sense of what's going on here.
Well, they've certainly gotten their bearings at the Mall of America.
Yes.
I had another Eagle spotting last night.
Did you? Let's hear that. Are you allowed to share or no?
Well, yeah. I mean, no. Okay. I was at a drinking establishment, just having a late one. Actually, I was also working there, too. And here in the Mall of America, again, because the Eagles are staying in the JW Marriott, they're at the Radisson, which is attached to the mall. So I think it was Chris Maragos, Joe Walker, Kamau Brewster-Hill, Trey Burton, maybe a couple other guys. They were there. I guess getting some late night eats.
Yeah.
Past midnight. I went to ask Doug what the curfew was.
it probably kind of wanes as the game approaches.
I would assume so, because I saw some other players like Jalen Watkins and Kenyon Varner and Rasul Douglas walking around. And
but it was interesting that the Patriots got here yesterday. Like, they literally, like, so their first obligation was Monday night. And they got off the plane, checked in the hotel, went to that obligation.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's no break downtime where they're really kind of wasting, so to speak.
Right, yeah. So it's, I guess, a different approach. I think I agree with the way Doug handled it. You know, bring him in. This is something, a lot of the players haven't experienced this. But, you know, being out here in the Mall of America, out in Bloomington, I mean, there really aren't any other distractions besides if you want to go. Apparently, GameStop, my sources tell me, has been a popular store here for Eagles players.
Did they bring their video games with them?
Like, yes.
Okay.
And they were shopping. They were restocking some of their games.
They brought their PlayStations and their Xboxes to play in their rooms.
Okay. Oh, they were getting new games.
Yeah.
Too.
All right. Well, that part it makes sense. It just wouldn't make sense if they bought games here to play at home. You know.
No. I mean, yeah.
So they had
to
bring them here.
That's the extent of what a lot of these guys are doing. So I think that little bit of information may have me up for a Pulitzer investigative reporting.
Yes, GameStop.
I have good sources on this. A lot of Eagles have been at GameStop stores.
Which is actually right by us. There's right behind us.
There it is. GameStop. You guys
see, I'm going to get out of the way. Yeah.
Eagles have been hanging out there. But it's funny, I think for a lot of Eagles fans, and I don't know, you know, as we get closer to the game, when they come in on Thursday, come down here, if they're going to have the opportunity to bump in the players walking around. But they've been all over the mall. That's kind of, you know, again, that's really the extent of what they can do.
So they start to get into more of a routine today. During a normal week for the Eagles, they have a walkthrough on Tuesday. Then they have full practices Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, walkthrough Saturday, game Sunday. They're going to have a walkthrough at the University of Minnesota today, be on the practice field tomorrow. You asked Doug Peterson if they would be in pads for practice.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he didn't say yes or no. He said he still hasn't decided yet. What did he say? He didn't want to.
He said he needs to factor in the guys being fresh. And he said they had full padded practices last week. And so it kind of sounded, if you read between the lines of his answer, that he was leaning toward no. No, I don't know. And I should say we're not allowed at practice at the Super Bowl. At NovaCare, back in Philly, we're allowed. So we'll find out based on
the
pool reporter. But that was interesting. And frankly, I'm glad you asked that, because in these Super Bowl press conferences for Doug Peterson, I don't think Doug's ever seen that many reporters there. And it's a lot of and no fault of the reporters.
No.
It's a lot of rehashing stories that we've written for months. So it's not often that the local guys chime in with something different. And then you chimed in with something different.
And
you know?
It was big news. But the reason why I wanted to ask it was because it was something that the players were focused on towards the end of the season, that they weren't practicing in pads, and they felt like the fact that they got back into wearing pads on that bye week, the first round of playoffs that the Eagles didn't have to participate in, that helped them. And that's, I mean, they did pads that week, maybe 1 or 2 days. And the following week before the Falcons game, they wore pads on that Wednesday.
Yep.
So I was thinking maybe Doug would just do pads on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So maybe he still will. Maybe he just didn't want to give away too much information. I don't think it's not a huge thing. I'm sure Bill Belichick has his guys wearing pads. Apparently they always do. He always goes. They always go hard
during Super Bowl week.
Okay. So I mean, you know, very minor point.
Now, 10 Eagles spoke after Doug Peterson. What did you focus on during that session?
I spoke to Kelsey a little bit. I'm working on a story on Doug Peterson about that. But then I matchups. I'm going to do something on matchups. Some of the key matchups I think we're going to see in the game.
Okay.
So I spoke to Roddy McLeod about covering Gronk. A lot of teams double teamed him. I mean, is he a guy that you have to shade a safety over on top of all the time? And he said that mostly you're going to see that. You'll do that more in the red zone. I mean, we know how Gronk is in the red zone. Jalen Mills talked a little to him about Brandon Cooks. You know, he's certainly going to have to guard him at some point. Cooks is a dangerous guy down the field. He's also a guy that you can get the ball in his hands down low and he can make something happen. I think what we're going to see is it's because it's Tom Brady. The ball is going to be out quick. A lot of quick passes early against the Eagles. And, you know, when the Eagles have faced offenses that have done that against them, they've struggled. I mean, the Giants in December and even back in September, both times they played him were very successful.
Very quick passing game, yeah.
Yeah. And the Eagles tackle well, typically. But you can take some of those short passes and pick up more than 5, 6, 7 yards if you if they're positioned right, and there's nobody better in the NFL
than Tom Brady, and he has better weapons than the Giants too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a key element of the game, just to counter that pass rush that the Eagles
have. That's a good one.
Obviously, we'll delve much deeper into the X's and O's because we plan on doing this a daily podcast throughout the week, right?
That is correct. I spoke to Nick Foles for a bit. And what I was curious about from Nick, actually, we discussed so much 2013, 2014. I was curious the value of 2012 to him when he started those games as a rookie. And he spoke about Mike Vick's role kind of early on in his career, and that Tampa Bay game, that the only win he had as a rookie was over Tampa Bay, and that kind of taught him how hard it is to win in the league. I'm really interested.
Game-winning drive.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the different stages.
Jeremy Maclin, 4 yard touchdown.
Career. There you go, on the right sideline, right?
Yeah, okay. And they basically carried Andy off the field.
Yes, which is hard to do.
Yeah, but they had lost so much that year, and they finally won a game.
So you can look for all of our stories on Philly.com, Inquired Daily News this week. What's coming up from you?
I spoke to Joe Banner.
Okay,
so
that's a good one.
Story about the Eagles' former president and sort of his feelings about, you know, seeing this team that he had run for 20 years and guys that he had brought into the organization, Don Zelensky and Howie Roseman hired both those guys, and to see that maybe they're going to be the ones that kind of get to complete the one final step that he couldn't complete when he was president. So that's one thing, and I don't know. I haven't thought behind that. We got beyond that. We got so much.
There'll be many others. Well, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, that's Jeff McClain. I'm Zach Berman.